These, your unusual weeds, to each part of you that give a life. No shepherdess, but flora peering in April's sun. This, your sheep shearing, is as a meeting of the petty gods and you, the queen of.
Sir, my gracious lord, to chide at your extremes is not becoming. Oh, pardon that I name them. Your high self, the gracious mark of the land, you have obscured with a swain's leg. And me, poor lowly maid, most goddess-like cranker. Such as our feasts in every mess have folly, and the feed is digested with a custom. I should blush to see you so attired. Swoon, I think, to show myself a glass.
I bless the time when my good falcon made our flight across thy father's ground.
Now Jove afford you cause. To me the difference forges dread. Your greatness hath not been used to fear. Even now I tremble to think your father by some accident should pass this way as you did. Oh, the face! How would he look to see his work so noble, vilely bound up? What would he say? Or how should I, in these my borrowed flaunts, behold the sternness of his presence?
Apprehend nothing but jollity. The gods themselves, humbling their deities to love, have taken the shapes of beasts upon them. Jupiter became a bull and bellowed. The green Neptune a ram and bleated. And the fire-robed god, golden Apollo, a poor humble swain as I seem now. Their transformations were never for a piece of beauty rarer, nor in a way so chaste. Since my desires run not before mine honor, nor my lusts burn hotter than my faith.
Oh, but, sir, your resolution cannot hold when 'tis opposed, as it must be, by the power of the king. One of these two must be necessity, which then will speak that you must change this purpose, or I my life.
Thou dearest Perdita, with these forced thoughts, I prithee, darken not the mirth of the feast. Or I'll be thine, my fair, or not my father's. For I cannot be mine own, nor anything to any, if I be not thine. To this I am most constant, though destiny say no. Be merry, gentle. Strangle such thoughts as these with anything that you behold the while. Your guests are coming. Lift up your countenance. As it were the day of celebration of that nuptial which we two have sworn shall come.
Oh, Lady Fortune, stand you auspicious.
See your guests approach. Address yourself to entertain them sprightly, and let's be red with mirth.
Ay, daughter, when my old wife lived upon this day, she was both pantler, butler, cook, both dame and servant. Welcomed all, served all. Would sing her song and dance her turn. Now here, and off her end of the table, now in the middle. On his shoulder it is. Her face afire with labor, and the things she took to quench it, she would to each one sip. You are retired as if you were a feasting one, and not the hostess of the meeting. Pray you, bid these unknown friends to welcome, for it is a way to make us better friends, more known. Come, quench your blushes, and present yourself that which you are, mistress of the feast. Come on, and bid us welcome to your sheep shearing, as your good flock shall prosper.
Sir, welcome. It is my father's will I should take on me the hostesship of the day. You're welcome, sir. Give me those flowers there, Dorcas. Reverend sirs, for you there's rosemary and rue. These keep seeming and savour all the winter long. Grace and remembrance be to you both, and welcome to our sharing.
Shepherdess, a fair one are you. Well you fit our ages with flowers of winter.
Sir, the year growing ancient, not yet on summer's death, nor on the birth of trembling winter. The fairest flowers of the season are our carnations and street gillivores, which some call nature's bastards. Of that kind, our rustic gardens barren, and I care not to get slips of them.
Wherefore, gentle maiden, do you neglect them?
For I have heard it said, there is an art which in their piedness shares with great creating nature.
Say there be. Yet nature is made better by no mean, but nature makes that mean. So over that art which you say adds to nature is an art that nature makes. You see, sweet maid, we marry a gentler scion to the wildest stock, and make conceive a bark of baser kind by bud of nobler race. This is an art which does mend nature, change it rather. But the art itself is nature.
So it is.
Then make your garden rich in gillibores, and do not call them bastards.
I'll not put the dibble in earth to set one slip on them. No more than were I painted, I would wish this youth should say 'twere well, and only therefore desire to breed by me. Here's flowers for you. Hot lavender, mint, savory, marjoram, the marigold that goes to bed with the sun and with him rises, weeping. These are flowers of middle summer, and I think they are given to men of middle age. You're very welcome.
I should leave grazing were I of your flock and only live by gazing.
Out, alas! You'll be so lean that blasts of January will blow you through and through. Now, my fair friend, I would I had some flowers of the spring that might become your time of day. And yours that wear upon your virgin branches yet your maidenhead's growing. Oh, Proserpina, for the flowers now that... frighted, thou lettest fall from Dis's wagon. Daffodils that come before the swallow dares and take the winds of March with beauty. Violets, dim but sweeter than the lids of Juno's eyes or Cytherea's breath. Pale primroses that die unmarried ere they can behold bright Phoebus in his strength, a malady most incident to maids. Bold oxlips and the crown imperial, lilies of all kinds, the fleur de luce being one. Oh, these I lack to make you garlands of, and my sweet friend to strew him o'er and o'er.
What? Like a course?
No, like a banful love to lie and play on, not like a course. Or if not to be buried, but quick and in mine arms. Come, take your flowers. Methinks I play as I have seen them do in whips and pastorals. Sure, this robe of mine does change my disposition.
What you do still betters what is done. When you speak sweet, I'd have you do it ever. When you sing, I'd have you buy and sell so. So give alms, pray so. And for the ordering your affairs, to sing then too. When you do dance, I wish you a wave of the sea, that you might ever do nothing but that. Move still, still so. And own no other function. Each your doing, so singular in each particular, crowns what you are doing in the present deeds, that all your acts are queens.
Oh, Dorocles, your praises are too large. But that your youth and the true blood which fairly peeps through it do plainly give you out an unstained shepherd. With wisdom, I might fear, my Dorocles. You wooed me the false way.
I think you have as little skill to fear as I have purpose to put you to it. But come, our dance, I pray. Your hand, my Perdita. So turtles pair that never mean to part.
I'll swear, Florian.
This is the prettiest low-born lass that ever ran on the green sward. Nothing she does or seems but smacks of something greater than herself. Too noble for this place.
He tells her something that makes her blood look out. Good sooth, she is the queen of curds and cream.
Come on, striker!
Mopsa must be your mistress. Marry garlic to mend her kissing with.
No, in good time.
Not a word, a word. We stand upon our manners. Come, striker!
Hey, good shepherd. What fair swain is this which dances with your daughter?
They call him Doricles, and boasts himself to have a worthy feeding. But I have it upon his own report, and I believe it. He looks like you. He says he loves my daughter. I think so, too. For never gaze the moon upon the water, as he'll stand and read as where my daughter's eyes. And to be plain, I think there's not half a kiss to choose who loves another best.
She dances feetly.
So she does anything. Though I reported that should be silent. If young Doricles do light upon her, she shall bring him that which he not dreams of.
Oh, master, master, master! If you did but hear the peddler at the door, you would never dance again after a tabor and pipe.
No, the bagpipe could not move you. He sings several tunes faster than you. Tell money. He utters them as he had eaten ballads, and all men's ears grew to his tunes.
He could never come better. He shall come in. I love a ballad, but even too well. If it be a doleful matter, merrily set down, or a very pleasant thing indeed, and sung lamentably.
He has songs for man or woman of all sizes. The old milliner can so fit his customers with gloves. He has the prettiest love songs for made so without baudry, which is strange. Which delicate burdens of dildos and fadings, jumper and thumper, where some stretched malgratical wood, as it were, mean mischief and break a foul gap into the matter, he makes the maid to answer, whoop, do me no harm, good man. Cut him off, slice him with, whoop, do me no harm, good man.
This is a brave fellow.
Believe me, thou talkst of an admirable, conceited fellow. Has he any unbraided wares?
He hath ribbons of all the colors of the rainbow. Points more than all the lawyers in Bohemia can learnedly handle, though they come to him by the gross. In Coles, Caddises, Cambrics, Lawns. Why, he sings them over as they were gods or goddesses. You would think a smoke were a she-angel. He's so chanced to the sleeve hand and the work about the square on.
Prithee, bring him in and let him approach singing.
Forewarn him that he used no scurrilous words in his tune.
You'd have of these peddlers that have more in them than you'd think, sister.
Aye, good brother, or go about to think.
Lawn as white as driven snow, cypress black as air or crow, gloves as sweet as damask roses, masks for faces and for noses, bugle bracelet, necklace, amber, perfume for a lady's chamber, golden quoits and stomachers, for my lads to give their dears, pins and poking sticks of steel, what made black from head to heel. Come by of me, come by, by lads, or else your lasses cry, come by.
If I were not in love with Lobster, thou shouldst take no money of me. But being enthralled as I am, it will also be the bondage of certain ribbons and gloves.
Oh, he was promised them against the feast, but they come not too late now.
Aye, he has promised you more than that, or they'll be liars.
Well, he's paid you all he promised you, maybe he's paid you more, which will shame you to give him a pound.
No manners left among maids. Will they wear their plackets where they should bear their faces? Is there not milking time when you are going to bed or kill owl to whistle off these secrets? But you must be tittle-tattling before all our guests. 'Tis well they are whispering. Clamour your tongues and not a word more.
I have done. Come, you promised me a tawdry lace, a pair of sweet gloves.
Have I not told thee how I was cozened by the way and lost all my money?
And indeed, sir, there are cozeners abroad. Therefore it behoves men to be wary.
Fear not thou, man. Thou shalt lose nothing here.
I hope so, sir, for I have about me many parcels of charge.
What hast thee, a ballad?
I love a ballad in print of life, then reassure they are true.
Here's one to a very doleful tune. How a usurer's wife was brought to bed of 20 money bags at a burthen, and how she longed to eat adders' heads and toads carbonate.
Is that true? Thank you.
Very true, and but a month old.
Oh, bless me for marrying a usurer.
Here's the midwife's name to it. One Mistress Tail Porter, and five or six honest wives that were present. Why should I carry lies abroad?
I didn't know by it.
Come on, lay it by, and let's see no ballad. Yeah. We'll buy the other things anon.
Here's another ballad of a fish that appeared upon the coast on Wednesday, the 4th of April, 40,000 fathom above water, and sung this ballad against the hard hearts of maids. It was thought she was a woman and was turned into a cold fish, for she would not exchange flesh with one that loved her.
Oh.
The ballad is very pitiful, and it's true.
Is it true, too? Thank you.
Five justices' hands at it, and witnesses more than my tackle holds.
Lay it by two. Another?
Yeah. This is a merry ballad, but a very pretty one.
Yeah, let's have some merry ones.
Oh. Right, this is a passing merry one, and goes to the tune of two maids wooing a man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Here's the maid westward, but she sings it. 'Tis in request, I can tell you.
We can both sing. Yeah. They're apart, they shall hear to them three parts.
I had the tune only 2 months ago.
I can bear my part, you must notice my occupation. Have at it with you.
Get your hands, for I must go where it fits you not to know.
Winner, oh winner, 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 if we come by no full well, thanking me for secret swell, me for a bigger liver. Or then go to the Granger Mill, if you either know the deal.
Neither.
For neither, 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 now has won my love to me, thou hast borne it more to me, then we are going, they will.
We'll have this song out along by our
Chipper and Dad shop, we'll not trouble them. So bring away thy pack after me.
Yeah.
When Chig, I'll buy for you both. Then, let's have the first choice. Follow me, girls.
And you shall pay well for them.
Will you buy any tape, any lace for your cape, my dainty duck, my dear? Any silk, any thread, any toys for your head of the newest, the finest wear? Come to the meddler,
come to the meddler,
money the meddler,
money the meddler,
the all men wear.
How now, fair shepherd? Your heart is full of something that does take your mind from feasting. Sooth, when I was young and handed love as you do, I was wont to load my she with knacks. I would have ransacked the peddler's silken treasury and poured it to her acceptance. You have let him go and nothing marted with him. If your lass interpretation should abuse and call this your lack of love or bounty, you were straighted for a reply. At least, if you make her care of happy holding her.
Old sir, I know she prizes not such trifles as these are. The gifts she looks for me are packed and locked up in my heart, which I have given already, but not delivered. Oh, hear me breathe my life before this ancient sir, whom it should seem has sometime loved. I take thy hand, this hand as soft as dove's down and as white as it. Or Ethiopian's tooth, or the fan snow that's bolted by the northern blasts twice o'er.
What follows this? How prettily the young swain seems to wash the hand with fair before.
Oh.
I have put you out. But to your protestation, let me hear what you profess.
Do, and be witness to it.
And this, my neighbor, too?
And he, and more than he, and men. The earth, the heavens, and all. That's what I crowned, the most imperial monarch thereof most worthy. Were I the fairest youth that ever made eyes swerve, had force and knowledge more than was ever man's, I would not prize them without her love. For her employ them all, commend them and condemn them to her service or to their own perdition.
Fairly offered.
This shows a sound affection.
But, my daughter, say you the like to him?
I cannot speak so well, nothing so well, no nor mean better. By the pattern of mine own thoughts, I cut out the purity of his.
Take hands, a bargain. And friends unknown, you shall bear witness to it. I give my daughter to him, and will make her portion equal his.
Oh, that must be the virtue of your daughter. One being dead, I shall have more than you can dream of yet. Enough then for your wonder, but come on, contract us for these witnesses.
Come, your hand, and daughter, yours.
Soft, swain awhile, beseech you. Have you a father?
I have, but what of him?
Knows he of this?
He neither does nor shall.
Methinks a father is at the nuptial of his son, a guest that best becomes the table. Pray you once more, is not your father grown incapable of reasonable affairs? Is he not stupid with age and altering rooms? Can he speak, hear, no man from man, dispute his own estate? Lies he not bedrid, and again does nothing but what he did being childish?
No, good sir. He has his health, and ampler strength indeed than most have of his age.
By my white beard, you offer him, if this be so, a wrong something unfilial. A reason my son should choose himself a wife, but as good reason the father, all whose joy is nothing else but fair posterity, should hold some counsel in such a business.
I yield all this. But for some other reasons, my grave sir, which 'tis not fit you know, I not acquaint my father of this business.
Let him not.
He shall not.
Prithee, let him.
No, he must not.
Let him, my son. He shall not need to grieve at knowing of thy choice.
Come, come, he must not. Mark our contract.
Mark your divorce, young sir, whom son I dare not call. Art too base to be acknowledged. Thou a scepter there that thus affects a sheephook. Now, old traitor, I am sorry that by hanging thee I can but shorten thy life 1 week. Thou, fresh piece of excellent witchcraft, who of course must know the royal pool thou copest with,
my heart.
I'll have thy beauty scratched with briars and made more homely than thy state. Thee, fond boy, if I may ever know, thou dost but sigh that thou no more shalt see this knack, as never I mean thou shalt.
will bar thee from succession, not hold thee of our blood, no, not our kin, father and Deucalion off. Mark down my words. Follow to the court.
Now, churl, for this time, though full of our displeasure, yet we free thee from the dead blow of it. And you, enchantment, worthy enough a herdsman, yea, him too that makes himself but for our honour therein unworthy thee, if ever henceforth thou these rural latches to his entrance open, or hoop his body more with thy embraces, I will devise a death as cruel for thee as thou art tender to it.
Even here undone, I was not much afeard. For once or twice I was about to speak and tell him plainly, the selfsame sun that shines upon his court hides not his visage from our cottage, but looks on alike. Will it please you, sir, be gone. I told you what would come of this. Beseech you, of your own state, take care. This dream of mine, being now awake, I'll queen it no inch farther, but milk my ewes and weep.
Why, how now, father? Speak, ere thou diest.
I cannot speak, nor think, nor dare to know that which I know. Oh, sir, you have undone a man of 83. I thought to fill his grave in quiet. Yea, to die upon the bed my father died. To lie close by his honest bones. But now some hangman must put on my shroud and lay me where no priest shovels in dust. Oh, cursed wretch!
And you, sis, was the prince in which to venture to mingle faith with him. Undone, undone. If I might die within this hour, I have lived to die when I desire. Why look you so upon me? I am but sorry, not afeard. Delayed, but nothing altered. What I was, I am. Nor straining on for plucking back, not following my leash unwillingly.
Gracious my lord, you know your father's temper. At this time he will allow no speech, which I do guess you do not purpose to him. And as hardly will he endure your sight as yet, I fear. Then, till the fury of his highness settle, come not before him.
I not purpose it. I think Camillo.
Even he, my lord.
How often have I told you 'twould be done? How often said my dignity would last but till 'twere known?
It cannot fail but by the violation of my faith. And then let nature crush the sides of the earth together and mar the seed within. Lift up thy looks. From my succession wipe me, father. I am heir to my affection.
Be advised.
I am. And by my fancy, if my reason will thereto be obedient. I have reason. If not, my senses better pleased with madness do bid it welcome.
This is desperate, sir.
So call it, but it does fulfill my vow. I needs must think it honesty. Camillo, not for Bohemia, nor the pomp that may be thereat gleaned, for all the sun seas, or the close earth wombs, or the profound seas, hides in unknown fathoms, will I break my oath to this, my fair beloved. Therefore I pray you, as you have ever been my father's honored friend, when he shall miss me, as in faith I mean not to see him any more, cast your good counsels upon his passion. Let myself and fortune tug for the time to come. This you may know, and so deliver. I am put to sea with her whom here I cannot hold on shore. And most opportune to our need, I have a vessel rides fast by, but not prepared for this design. What course I mean to hold shall nothing benefit your knowledge, nor concern me the reporting.
Oh, my lord, I would your spirit were easier for advice, or stronger for your need.
Hark, Peritash. My lord, I pray
you... I'll hear
you
by and by. He's irremovable, resolved for flight. Now, were I happy, if his going I could frame to serve my turn. Save him from danger, do him love and honor, purchase the sight again of dear Sicilia and that unhappy king, my master, whom I so much thirst to see.
Now, good Camillo, I am so fraught with curious business that I leave out ceremony.
Sir, I think you have heard of my poor services in the love that I have borne your father.
Very nobly have you deserved. It is my father's music to speak your deeds. Not little of his care to have them recompensed as thought of.
Well, my lord, if you may please to think I love the king, and through him what is nearest to him, which is your gracious self. Embrace but my direction, if your more ponderous and settled project may suffer alteration. On mine honor, I'll point you where you shall have such receiving as shall become your highness, where you may enjoy your mistress, from the whom I see there's no disjunction to be made, but by, as heavens forfend, your ruin. Marry her, and with my best endeavors in your absence, your discontenting father strive to qualify and bring him up to liking.
How, Camillo, may this almost a miracle be done? That I may call thee something more than man, and after that trust to thee.
Have you thought on a place whereto you'll go?
Not any yet. But as then thought on accident is guilty to what we wildly do, so we profess ourselves to be the slaves of chance and flies of every wind that blows.
Then list to me. This follows if you will not change your purpose, but undergo this flight. Make for Sicilia, and there present yourself and your fair princess, for so I see she must be, for Leontes. She shall be habited as it becomes the partner of your bed. Methinks I see Leontes opening his free arms and weeping his welcomes forth. Asks thee the son forgiveness as 'twere the father's person. Kisses the hands of your fresh princess. Or and o'er divides him. Twixt his unkindness and his kindness. The one he chides to hell and bids the other grow faster than thought or time.
Worthy Camillo, what colour for my visitation shall I hold up before him?
Sent by the king your father to greet him and to give him comfort. Oh. Sir, the manner of your bearing towards him, with what you as from your father shall deliver, things known betwixt us three, I'll write you down, the which shall point you forth at every sitting what you must say, that he shall not perceive but that you have your father's bosom there, and speak his very heart.
I am bound to you. There is some sap in this.
Of course, more promising than a wild dedication of yourselves to unparved waters, undreamed shores. Most certain to misery is enough, no hope to help you, but as you shake off one, to take another. Nothing so certain as your anchors, who do their best office if they can, but stay you where you'll be loath to be. Besides, you know, prosperity is the very bond of love, whose fresh complexion and whose heart together affliction alters.
One of these is true. I think affliction may subdue the cheek, but not take in the mind.
Say you so? There shall not at your father's house these 7 years be born another such.
My good Camillo, she's as forward of her breeding as she is in her rear, our birth.
I cannot say it is pity she lacks instruction, for she seems a mistress to most to teach.
Your pardon, sir. For this I'll blush you thanks.
My prettiest Perdita. But oh, the thorns we stand upon. Camillo, preserver of my father, now of me, the medicine of our house. How shall we do? We are not furnished like Bohemia's son, nor shall appear in Sicilia.
My lord, fear none of this. I think you know my fortunes do all lie there. It shall be so my care to have you royally appointed as if the scene you play were mine. For instance, sir, that you may know you shall not want. One word.
What a fool honesty is, and trust his sworn brother, a very simple gentleman. I sold all my trumpery, not a counterfeit stone, not a ribbon, glass, pomander, brooch, table book, ballad, knife, tape, glove, shoe tie, bracelet, horn ring, to keep my pack from fasting. They throng who should buy first, as if my trinkets had been hallowed and brought a benediction to the buyer, by which means I saw whose purse was best in picture. And what I saw, to my good use, I remembered. My clown, who wants but something to be a reasonable man, grew so in love with the wench's song that he would not stir his petticoats till he had both tune and word, which so drew the rest of the herd to me that all their other senses stuck in ears. You might have pinched a placket. It was senseless. It was nothing to geld a codpiece of a purse. I would have filed keys off that hung in chains. No hearing, no feeling, but my sir's song and admiring the nothing of it. So that in this time of lethargy, I picked and cut most of their festival purses. And had not the old man come in with a woobub against his daughter and the king's son and scared me chuffs from the chap, I'd not left a purse alive in the whole army.
Nay, but my letters, by this means being there as soon as you arrive, shall clear that doubt.
And those that you'll procure from King Leontes
shall satisfy your father.
Happy be you. All that you speak shall fair.
Oh, every year. We'll make an instrument of this. And if nothing may give us aid.
If they have overheard me now, why, hang it.
Oh, no, good fellow. Why shakest thou so? Fear not, man. He has no harm intended to thee.
I am a poor fellow, sir.
Why be so still? He has nobody will steal that from thee. Yet for the outside of thy poverty, we must make an exchange. Therefore, discase thee instantly.
My lord,
thou must think there's a necessity in it. And change garments with this gentleman.
Yeah, but
how is another pennyworth on his side. Be the worst yet to hold thee. There's some boot.
I am a poor fellow, sir.
I know you well enough.
They prithee dispatch. The gentleman is half played already.
Are you in earnest, sir?
I smell the kick on.
Dispatch, I prithee.
Indeed, I have had earnest, but I cannot with conscience take it.
Unbuckle!
Unbuckle!
Fortunate mistress, let my prophecy come home to ye. You must attire yourself into some cover. Take your sweetheart's hat and pluck it o'er your brows, muffle your face, dismantle you, and as you can, dislike the truth of your own seeming that you may, for I do fear eyes over, to shipboard get undescribed.
I see the place so lies that I was there upon.
No remedy. Have you done that?
Should I now meet my father, he would not call me father.
Nay, you shall have no hat. Come, lady. Farewell, my friend.
Adieu, sir.
Oh, Perdita, what have we twain forgot? Pray you a word.
What I do next shall be to tell the king of this escape and whither they are bound. Wherein my hope is I shall so prevail to force him after, in whose company I shall review Sicilia. For whose sight I have a woman's longing.
Fortune speed us! Thus we set on, Camillo, to the seaside!
The swifter speed, the better!
I understand the business. I hear it. To have an open ear, a quick eye, and a nimble hand is necessary for a cut purse. A good nose is requisite also to smell out work for other senses. I see this is the time that the unjust man doth thrive. What an exchange hath this been without boot? What a boot is here with this exchange? Sure, the gods do this year connive at us, and we may do anything extempore. The prince himself is about a piece of iniquity, stealing away from his father with his clog at his heels. If I thought it were a piece of honesty to acquaint the king withal, I would not do it. I hold it the more knavery to conceal it, and therein am I constant to my profession. Aside, aside, here is more matter for a hot brain. Every lane's end, every shop, church, session, hanging, yields a careful man work.
See, see, what a man you are now. There is no other way but to tell the king she's a changeling, and none of your flesh and blood.
Aye, but hear me.
Aye, but hear me.
Oh, go to then.
She being none of your flesh and blood, your flesh and blood has not offended the king, and so your flesh and blood is not to be punished by him. Show those things you found about her, those secret things, all but what she has with her. This being done, let the law go whistle, I warrant.
I will tell the king all.
Aye.
Every word.
Aye.
Yea, and his son's pranks too. Who, I may say, is no honest man, neither to his father nor to me, to go about to make me the king's brother-in-law.
Indeed, brother-in-law was the father's off you could have been to him, and then your blood had been the dearer by I know not how much it else.
Nay, wisely, puppies. Well, let us to the king.
Ah.
There is that in this fardel will make him scratch his beard.
I know not what impediment this complaint may be to the flight of my master.
Pray, hearten he be at palace.
Though I'm not naturally honest, I am so sometimes by chance. Let me pocket up the peddler's excrement. How now? Whither are you bound?
To the palace. And are you here?
Your affairs there? What? With whom? The position of that fardel? The place of your dwelling? Your names? Your ages? Of what having, breeding, and anything that is fitting to be known? Discover!
Oh, we are but trying fellows, sir.
A lie! You are rough and hairy. Let me have no lying. It becomes none but tradesmen, and they often give us soldiers the lie. But we pay them for it with stamped coin, not stabbing steel. Therefore, they do not give us the lie.
Your worship would like to have given us one if you had not taken yourself with the manor.
Are you a courtier, like you say?
Whether it like me or no, I am a courtier.
Oh.
Seest thou not the air of the court in these enfoldings? Yes. Hath not my gait in it the measure of the court? Receives not thy nose court odour from it? Reflect I not on thy baseness, court contempt? Think'st thou for that I insinuate or tose from thee thy business? I am therefore no courtier. I am a courtier, cap a peg, and one that will either push on or pluck back thy business there. Whereon I command thee to open thy affair.
My business, sir?
is to the king.
What advocate hast thou to him?
I know not, and like you.
Advocate's the court word for a pheasant. Oh. Why, you have none.
None, sir. I have no pheasant, cock nor hen.
How blessed are we that are not simple men. Yet nature might have made me as these are. Therefore, I will not disdain.
This cannot be but a great courtier.
His garments are rich, but he wears them not handsomely.
He seems to be the more noble in being fantastical.
Yeah.
A great man, I'll warrant. I know by the picking on his teeth.
The fardel there! What is the fardel? Wherefore that box?
Sir, there lies such secrets in this fardel and box, which none must know but the king, and which he shall know within this hour, if I may come to the speech of him.
Age, thou hast lost thy labour.
Eh? Why, sir?
The king is not at the palace. He has gone aboard a new ship to purge melancholy and air himself.
Eh?
But if thou beest capable of things serious, thou must know the king is full of grief.
So it is said, sir, about his son that should have married a shepherd's daughter.
If that shepherd be not now in handfast, let him fly. The curses he shall have, the tortures he shall feel, will break the back of man, the heart of monster.
Oh, think you so, sir?
Not he alone shall suffer what wit can make heavy and vengeance bitter, but those that are germane to him, though removed 50 times, shall all come under the hand. Which, though it be great pity, yet it is necessary. An old sheep whistling rogue, a ram tender, to offer to have his daughter coming to grief. Some say he shall be stoned, but that death is too soft for him, say I. Draw our throne into a sheepcote. All deaths are too few. The sharp is too easy.
Has the old man heir a son, sir? Do you hear it like you, sir?
He has a son who shall be flayed alive, then anointed over with honey, set on the head of a wasp-nest, then stand till he be 3/4 and a dram dead. Then recovered again with the aqua vitae or some other hot infusion. Then, raw as he is, and in the hottest day prognostication proclaimed, set against a brick wall, the sun looking with a southward eye upon him, where he is to behold him with flies blown to death. But what talk we of these traitorly rascals, whose miseries are to be smiled at, their offences being so capital? Tell me, for you seem to be honest, plain men, what you have to the king. Being something gently considered, I'll bring you where he is aboard, tend to your persons to his presence, whisper him in your behalf. And if it be in man, besides the king, to effect your suit, here is a man shall do it.
He seems to be of great authority. Close with him. Give him gold. And though authority be a stubborn bear, yet he is oft led by the nose with gold. Show the inside of your purse to the outside of his hand, and no more ado. Remember, stoned and flayed and hived.
And please you, sir, to undertake the business for us. Here is that gold I have. I'll make it as much more and leave this young man in pawn till I bring it to you.
After I have done what I promised.
Aye, sir.
Well, give me the moiety. Are you a party in this business?
In some sort, sir. But though my case is a pitiful one, I hope I shall not be flayed out of it.
Oh, that's the case of the shepherd's son.
Hang him!
He'll be made an example.
Comfort, good comfort. We must to the king and show our strange sight. He must notice none of your daughter nor my sister. We are gone else. Sir, I will give you as much as this old man does when the business is performed, and remain as he says. Your pawn till it be brought you.
I will trust you. Walk before toward the seaside. Go on the right hand. I will but look upon the hedge and follow you.
We are blessed in this man, as I may say. Even land
next before as he bids us. He was provided to do us good.
If I had a mind to be honest, I see fortune would not suffer me. She drops booties in my mouth. I am courted now with a double occasion. Gold and a means to do the prince my master good, which who knows how that may turn back to my advancement. I will bring these two moles, these blind ones, aboard him. If he think it fit to shore them again, and that the complaint they have to the king concerns him nothing, let him call me rogue for being so far officious. For I'm proof against that title, and what shame else belongs to it. To him will I present them. There may be matter in it.